From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 24th day of February 2014. Happy belated birthday wishes to my brother Larry. He celebrated over the weekend. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. The folks from the Andersons right here in Champaign County will help us look at the cash grain market. We'll take up the weather forecast with the guys at Earth Risk Technologies in Chicago. And along the way, we'll hear the latest from Daryl Good. This morning, he wrote an article for the Farm Doc Daily website and posted a podcast, too. We'll hear portions of the podcast about ethanol, its future, and exports, how it could continue to drive or at least support the price of corn as we make our way through this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Let's check the numbers as they finished up in Chicago. For a Monday afternoon, futures finished like this. The nearby contract for the soft red winter wheat at $6.17¾, up 8 cents for the day. July at $6.21 into soft red, 11 and 3 quarters higher. The hard red at $6.76¾, up 9 and 3 quarters of a cent. March corn for the day at $4.51½, a settlement price down a penny and a half. The May down a penny and a quarter at $4.57¾. And July corn, $4.62¼, down a half cent. December futures, 0.75¢ higher at $4.65 on the settlement price. And next year's March contract for 2015 at $4.74½ a bushel, up 1¼. Soybeans now, March contract for the day, $13.86½, up 15 and 3 quarters. May at $13.75, up 14 and 3 quarters. In July, 13½ cents at $13.58¼ a bushel. November beans, $11.60¼, up 6½ cents. And January futures at $11.64¼, up 6¼. Bean meal at $4.65.90, up $10.10. And bean oil at $40.75, that finished down 20 cents. Live cattle futures in the April contract at $141.22½, down 22½ cents. The nearby February there, up 60 at $145.15. March feeders at $170.20, down 50 cents. April up 42½ at $171.62½ per 100 pounds. And lean hogs finished the day at $99.25 in the April futures, down a dime. May up a nickel at $107.05. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day, April at $102.74 a barrel, up 54 cents. The RBOB, or wholesale price of gasoline, at $2.83¢, up 3/10 of a cent. Ethanol futures at $2.14, that's 7 cents higher for the day. And the spread between the two has narrowed by 6 6/10 of a cent since last trading on Friday at 69 6/10 of a cent. Natural gas at $5.48½, 65 cents lower. And March futures in the diesel fuel at $3.09¾, down 5/10 of a cent. Let me go back and look at that. Indeed, natural gas was down 65 cents for the day. Gold futures, $1,338.10, up $14.40. And the U.S. dollar trading at 80.2. That's down 0.04 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Mostly cloudy skies, a high of 25 degrees on a west-northwest wind at 7 to 9 miles an hour. And then tonight, snow likely mainly between midnight and 3 a.m. Cloudy, a low of 16 degrees. Northwest winds at 5 to 7. They'll turn to the northeast after midnight. Chance of precipitation set at 60% for the evening. New snowfall less than half an inch. Tuesday, mostly cloudy at a high of 25 on a northwest wind at 5 to 14, gusting to 22. And Tuesday night, mostly cloudy, gradually becoming mostly clear, a low of 0 degrees on Tuesday evening. Wind chill values between 9 and 19 below. Northwest winds at 15 to 18 miles an hour, gusting to 26. On Wednesday, sunny skies, a high of 17. Wednesday night, clear and 10 degrees. Thursday, mostly sunny, 21. Thursday night, mostly cloudy and 8 degrees. And Friday, mostly cloudy with a high of 25 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with the folks at Earth Risk Technologies. They are in Chicago, Illinois.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason for a Monday afternoon. It is the 24th day of February. On the phone line with us is Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
What did you see over the weekend that was interesting, either in the marketplace or otherwise?
Just continued demand in the soybean sector. It just goes off the idea that producers fairly well sold up in beans and not a whole lot of beans for sale. There's a lot of corn for sale above the market, but bean-wise, it's awful hard to gather some inventory. We continue to see the cold weather slowing some transportation down, increasing feed use each for say. Meal's on fire. It looks kind of in tandem with the beans. We've got First Notice Day coming up through here, and there was talk that some of the commercial trade has set the basis but did not have the futures side of it locked in and had to buy the market here to chase it, for say. That coupled with a little positive news out of the southern hemisphere on ideas that too much rain in some areas and too dry in the other areas where they're trying to get the second crop beans going, and even transportation issues, some flooding in some localized areas. So that gave the market some confidence for the bean to put on the spread as far as buying beans, selling corn, buying beans, selling wheat early in the day. Wheat came back on ideas of another cold blast coming across the Midwest. And as we get into March, these cold blasts become a little bit more significant than they did back in January there, Todd.
Yeah, as you take a look at the corn market, you suggested that there was much left to sell above current prices, and we've rallied from a low in the nearby March contract of $4.06 early in January up to, what, $4.53 last week sometime. So the question then is, can we rally much more, and where is everybody planning to make their sale?
Yeah, we're about 50 cents off that winter low there. Technically, we have a nice rounded bottom, nice head and shoulders bottom. We've got a nice uptrend going here. The corn market was able to recover throughout the day here off those early lows. I think corn market's probably in a sort of a grind higher fashion type of trade. Fundamentally, you know, we're not going to run out of corn, but, you know, until we see a lot more cash corn start to hit the market, it feels like corn wants to hold together here. And the beans would happen to roll over. We could see unwinding of that spread, selling the beans and buying back some of this corn position. But the trend's higher. Some of the technical guys are looking for substantially higher prices later on this summer. I've seen the Elliott Wave guys project as high as 626 later on in July and August, you know, if weather would kick in on some of this. So that's extreme bullish news. But on the flip side, after last week's outlook meetings, 390 as an average is kind of depressing on the downside. It kind of tells me short-term in here, we're kind of following the seasonals and take advantage of this technical up in through here to give guys opportunity to try to get caught up on some sales, get to where you want to be to take advantage of maybe some weather markets later on this summer.
Given normal conditions, and throw the weather out at the moment, but normal conditions for the new crop, what's your ideas for where that market might be headed? Of course, you've given us kind of the top and the bottom end of the range, depending on, you know, a full-size normal, I guess, yield, because that's what USDA would be using with the 390, and then the top side up around 625. But where do you think the market will head under normal growing conditions?
Oh, well, that's a good question. There's still a lot of moving targets yet. You know, the acreage, we feel, you know, we're still missing some acres. At these price levels, the acreage would be there. Yield-wise, they're optimistic, 165. I know everybody's a good farmer, but that's going to, you know, talk all-time records in some areas, which is possible for favorable weather. We feel the upper end on these futures is this 475, 480 area, and we feel downside risk is close to $4. And how we're attacking this market from a risk management point of view, we're kind of defending that $4.50 to $4 level basis December futures. Man, you start getting below 4.5, guys start to cringe a little bit. And we feel, though, that $4 is going to offer some buying opportunities for some of these end users. So we feel that that 50-cent bracket needs to be protected, and we're moving in that type of defensive posture until we get more of the growing season and see where we're at. We feel it's best to put some type of price floor in and leave your upside open there, Todd.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us today.
All right, take care.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He will be one of many analysts that join us next Tuesday, not tomorrow, but the following one. That's March the 4th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Most of our analysts will be on hand for our day-long, all-day Ag Outlook. If you have not purchased your tickets yet, now would be a really kind, good time to do that at 217-333-7300. Sue Martin will be there, along with Murray Wise and old Jonathan Kappas, too. We'll take you all the way through what's happening in the marketplace, take a look at land values, and how the farm programs will affect the farm in the next 5 years over at the All Day Ag Outlook. Call right now at 217-333-7300 to reserve your tickets today.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Hey, well, you say, hey, Todd, I can't make it over to the Beef House. I've got something else going on. Then how about coming over to Clinton, Illinois on Wednesday night this week at 7 o'clock? The folks at WHOW have graciously sponsored one of our Ag Outlook panels for the evening. Pete Manhart and Jackie Vakes and Matt Bennett will be there. So will University of Illinois ag economist and crop insurance specialist Gary Schnitke. That starts at 7 o'clock in Clinton, Illinois at the Richland Community College building. It's in Clinton, not Decatur. Hope to see you there. Hey, now here's Dave Dickey with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack says that he does not believe that the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership negotiations will be successfully concluded unless the parties deal, quote, seriously, comprehensively, and fully with agricultural trade issues. Vilsack says that statements by the European Union's Trade Commissioner that with or without an agreement, the EU would not import hormone-treated U.S. beef did not mean that the issue was off the table for negotiations. In addition to the beef issue, Vilsack says that the parties must work on issues related to biotechnology. Meanwhile, U.S. Trade Representative Michael Froman says that the Obama administration plans to convince Congress to pass trade promotion authority by negotiating such a strong Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement that members will want to give the administration the authority to finish it. Froman says that he is spending a lot of time on Capitol Hill with both parties, quote, laying the foundation for what we hope will be broad bipartisan support. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency has released a proposed rule aimed at protecting millions of farm workers across the country from exposure to pesticides on U.S. farms. The rule, which is expected to be posted in the Federal Register within the next 10 days, would make a number of changes to federal pesticide handling regulations to include expanding worker training and farm reporting requirements and restricting workers under the age of 16 from handling pesticides. Once the rule is posted, it will trigger a 90-day public comment period. Farm Credit Services of America reported annual net income of $514.6 million for the 2013 calendar year, compared to $481.1 million in 2012. The growth in net income was attributed to greater net interest income from loan growth and a reduction in the provision for credit losses due to an increase in credit quality. Finance chiefs from the 20 largest economies agreed over the weekend to implement policies that will boost world GDP by more than $2 trillion over the coming 5 years. The G20 said it would significantly raise global growth without overtaxing national finance through measures to promote competition and increase investment, employment, and trade. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. We're just 1 week and 1 day away from the all-day Ag Outlook scheduled for the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. On Tuesday, the 4th day of March, if you haven't purchased your tickets yet, they're still available. Not a lot of them, but some. You can do it at 217-333-7300. Do it right now. Ask for Kelly at 217-333-7300. If you can't make it over to the all day, you might consider coming to Clinton, Illinois on Wednesday evening. That's this Wednesday evening. I'll be there at the Richland Community College building in Clinton, not Decatur, but Clinton, along with the guys over WHOW AM 1520. Thanks to them for sponsoring the event at 7 o'clock. We'll have on hand Matt Bennett and Pete Manhart, along with Jackie Vakes and Gary Schnittke. He'll help us take a look at the commodity markets and crop insurance in Clinton, Illinois. You can just show up 7 o'clock at the Richland Community College building in Clinton, Illinois, on Wednesday evening. Now, up next, you know, it looks like the corn-based ethanol industry may be set to run at full capacity. If it does, the increased volume will come from foreign shores. I'll have more on why the United States could export more ethanol than expected in the coming months. In addition to increased feed consumption of corn in the domestic and foreign markets, there are also indications, says University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good, that domestic corn consumption could be boosted by growing export demand for ethanol. It's argued, he says, that the combination of generally high crude oil prices and therefore high gasoline prices in relation to ethanol prices will make ethanol an attractive source of octane around the world.
A combination of larger exports, increased domestic fuel consumption, and a final EPA rulemaking that provided more push for higher ethanol blends in the domestic fuel supply could provide for meaningful expansion in domestic ethanol production and therefore corn consumption. The magnitude of ethanol imports will also factor into that potential expansion.
With corn prices at current levels, U.S. ethanol is very competitively priced in the world market. Anticipating export demand for ethanol, however, is difficult, and opinions about the size of that market vary considerably. U.S. ethanol exports totaled about 400 million gallons in 2010, but ballooned to almost 1.2 billion gallons in 2011. That's where it peaked and then dropped back. Well, ethanol exports appear to be on the upswing again.
With so many unknowns, it is difficult to quantify potential growth. However, there is not unlimited capacity to produce corn-based ethanol in the U.S. It is conceivable that production capacity could be challenged at some point. That capacity will determine the limit of growth in corn consumption associated with ethanol production.
The Renewable Fuels Association estimates the nameplate capacity of current biorefineries at 14.875 billion gallons, with an additional 165 million gallons of new construction or expansion underway. Now, translating that capacity into maximum potential for corn consumption, that's not straightforward for at least three reasons. First, it is possible for refineries to produce above nameplate capacity. Secondly, feedstocks other than corn are used in some refineries. And finally, there is a variation in the estimates of yield of ethanol per bushel of corn processed into ethanol. And that yield can vary by the intensity of use relative to the nameplate capacity. As a result, estimates of maximum corn consumption vary too. Here's how Darrell Good makes the calculation.
With a yield of 2.72 gallons per bushel, maximum corn consumption for ethanol would be 5.588 billion bushels. That compares to the USDA projection of 5 billion bushels for the current marketing year.
That is a nice little increase, but there is still more to the story. A co-product of ethanol refining is a variety of distillers' grain soluble, or DDGs, that are used as livestock feed. Those solubles substitute for other feed ingredients, mostly whole corn. A private survey indicates an average of 16 pounds of livestock feed is produced for each bushel of corn refined. Now, using that relationship, the net consumption of corn from ethanol production can be calculated. Processing 5 billion bushels of corn into ethanol would represent a net use of about 3.85 billion bushels, and processing 5.58 billion bushels would represent a net use of 4.3 billion bushels.
Under these assumptions, moving from 5 billion bushels of corn processed into ethanol to the maximum industry capacity would result in a 453 million bushel net increase in corn consumption.
Ethanol, then, is expected to continue to be a large and growing segment of demand for U.S. corn. This suggests corn prices could be supported at higher levels than expected during a period of more abundant supplies. However, Darrell Good warns there is a limit to the growth without some new motivation to expand the corn-based ethanol production capacity. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
It's a Monday afternoon. Let's check the cash grain market. Brian Stark is on the phone line from the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Brian.
Good afternoon, Todd.
I don't know whether you actually have read what Darrell Good had to say today about the ethanol market. You heard a portion of that. The simple short version is if we can export enough ethanol, we will continue to use at a pretty good rate and might add another 500 million bushels of corn into the mix for that use. What do you think of the idea?
Well, I think it's certainly possible. I guess I'm a little skeptical we can increase that much, but I do think that the projections the current government's using can go up in the future if we can export things, because the margins have been good. It really is all about the export side, because obviously we've been limited on domestic usage based on the blend wall.
Tell me about basis and the local cash area.
Been fairly flat here the last few weeks. It's kind of a boring story. We've seen the bean basis obviously appreciate given the lack there of supplies and the grower being an aggressive bean seller on these rallies. So the processor has been strong. But corn basis really hasn't moved too much, and I don't anticipate that to be the case. The next move probably will be lower whenever the farmer does decide to cut loose some of his old stock.
It looks like the farmer's waiting for 475 cash to do that. Will we find it before they start to move it or not?
Well, that's a good question. I would say given the propensity for some acreage to be found back after the outlook form this past week on the March 31st survey for prospective plantings, I would say the best chances between now and then, because it feels like that report could find back quarterly stocks, could find a few more acres, may be tougher to accomplish, and the farmer may end up having to settle for something less.
The soy complex has been strong.
Yes, yes it has. And I think obviously going forward, unless we see cancellations from China, it's going to continue to be strong.
And what are your bids for the day?
Cash corn is 444, fall new crop 14, out of the fields 440, cash soybeans 1393, fall 2014 beans 1140.
Thanks so much, Brian.
Thanks, Todd.
Brian Stark is with the Andersons, joins us on this Monday afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market. Of course, you're listening to Illinois Public Media. WillAg.org is the place to find all of our programming. We posted there not long after it airs on our radio stations, within about half an hour, usually even quicker than that. Just visit WILLAG.org. Can't get to the websites, can't hear us on a radio station, try this number, 217-333-3434. Voicemail updated at 10:15 and 3:15 each and every day with some numbers and a bit of analysis. Back in 2 minutes with the weather forecast.
It's National Tortilla Chip Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1815, Robert Fulton died, an American inventor and engineer. He brought steamboating to a commercial success. In 1839, William Smith Otis, a civil engineer from Philadelphia, received a patent for the steam shovel. In 1849, John Henry Comstock was born, an American entomologist. He did pioneering work in the systematic classification of scale insects. He spent a summer in Alabama in 1878 studying the cotton leaf worm before becoming the chief entomologist of USDA. In 1874, John Bachman died, an American naturalist and Lutheran minister. He published studies of southern animals and works on botany and agriculture. In 1938, DuPont began production of nylon toothbrush bristles for its Miracle Tough toothbrush. The nylon bristles replaced bristles of neck hairs from wild swine from Siberia, Poland, and China. And in 2006, Andrew Sherratt died, an English archaeologist. He was an expert on the prehistory of Europe and the origins of agriculture. He proposed a theory of secondary products revolution that made farming possible even on agriculturally marginal land by trading in milk, wool, and textiles. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon. Well, let's check now the weather forecast with the guys up at EarthRisk Technologies. They're in Chicago, Illinois. Mark Russo is on the phone line. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Hey, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, tell me about this weather forecast, and when you get through most of it, can you check out next Tuesday? Because that's our all-day ag outlook, and kind of like to have good weather then.
Well, in this epic winter here that we're having from an extreme cold and snow standpoint, the odds do not favor good weather here for next week. But first things first here, Todd, this pattern that stated has been with us here throughout really the entire winter season. It started back in November, and that's basically persisted up until now. It shows all signs of continuing into March as well. And we've been stuck in this high amplitude jet stream pattern. It's only been a few weeks here and there of short duration, you know, 4 to 5 days within a week where we've had some moderation, but then you go back cold again. You know, we're done with our previous kind of window of moderation, and colder than normal temperatures will continue here for the next 2 weeks.
So next Tuesday, chances are we'll get snow and rain or ice or all the things we've been expecting?
Well, watching some of the computer model guidance here is projecting a storm system in the Midwest around the middle part of next week. As it looks right now, I would say it actually is more so to impact things on Wednesday versus Tuesday. But okay. We'll keep a close eye here for you.
Okay, now turn your attention to South America, because I think some of South America got some really big rainfalls over the weekend.
Yeah, they did, in the areas of Brazil as well as Argentina, which has been getting rain. The focus has been on Brazil, particularly southern Brazil, and Mato Grosso do Sul down to Paraná and Rio Grande do Sul. That area has been on the dry side over the past month, but we've seen an uptick in rain activity recently, and it looks like that those active conditions will continue, thus boosting soil moisture reserves for the soybean crop that continues to go through late flowering and pod development.
No, so your contention is that it's not so much rainfall that it is detrimental to the crop, but that it is improving conditions rather than making things worse.
Particularly in those areas of Paraná down through, and Mato Grosso do Sul down through Rio Grande do Sul. There's areas in like Mato Grosso where they're already harvesting soybeans, where the rain activity is disrupting harvesting. So that's the one area where these rains are a bit more problematic.
Any other places around the planet that we need to check in on before I let you go?
Yeah, we're watching dryness evolve across Indonesia, Malaysia, beginning to impact their palm crop, and so that's an area that needs to be watched here, as that area has been below normal precip over the past 4 to 5 weeks.
Hey, thanks so much. We do appreciate you taking the time with us.
You're welcome, Todd. Glad to be here, as always.
Mm-hmm. That is Mark Russo. He's with EarthRisk Technologies out of Chicago, Illinois. Joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. You can hear it again on our website at WILLAG.org, part of Illinois Public Media. Don't forget to dial in and call you in for your tickets at 217-333-7300 for the All-Day Ag Outlook. That is Tuesday, March the 4th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. You have a great afternoon. I'm UofI Extension's Todd Gleason.